What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 128. Today, we're going to be talking about essential amino acids, specifically for muscle growth, and why it is good to supplement with them. And I know we talked about protein a lot the past few weeks, so if you've listened to these podcasts in the past, you know, the last like month or so, it's just going to be a primer for this one, so you'll understand it a little bit more. But yeah, Tom, you want to touch on a story real quick, you said?
Yeah, so yesterday, I mean, if you guys have been listening to this podcast or know me at all, it's no secret that I had dogs. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while now, I'm sure you've heard them barking or playing around in the background. So yesterday, I had to take one of my dogs into the vet, Lady. No health issues or anything. She just had like a small growth. She's getting up there in age. Wanted to get it checked out. It's nothing. It's he said it was most likely a benign tumor. Nothing to worry about. So I was like, okay, cool, just making sure. So right next to the vet that we go to, there's one of our favorite butcher shops. It's called Lockford Sausage and Meats. If you guys have ever been up to Northern California, it's a great place. It's kind of on like the back way to Lake Tahoe. So whatever, stop there. I get about 8 pounds of meat from there. And you know what? I was like, all right, before I go home, there's a couple things I need to get from the grocery store. Let me just stop at the grocery store real quick. I'll be in and out no more than 5 minutes. So before I do that, I'm like, all right, my dog's in the car. I got all the sausage. Let me make sure this bag is tied nice and tight. She's normally a really good dog. I don't think anything bad is going to happen.
Yeah, super mellow. Super mellow dog.
Yeah, and like, she should know better than to go through this bag of meat. Like, she doesn't do that type of thing.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm in and out of the store. I grab like 3 things. It takes me 5 minutes. I even do self-checkout to make sure I'm out as quick as I can. I come back, and in that meantime, she's ripped open the bag, ripped open one of the, like, the butcher paper wrapped up things of sausage. She is 22 pounds. She ate 1.5 pounds of raw sausage.
Damn.
And not all, like, that is as much as she possibly could eat. Because when I get back to my car, she's on the front seat. Her belly is as full as I've ever seen it. She looks pregnant at this point. And there's a full sausage link, like, on the seat, like, right in front of her. So it's like, she had it out. She was going to eat it. And I think she just couldn't fit any more food in her. Like, she's 22 pounds and ate 1.5 pounds.
Yeah, that's like someone my size eating, like, 15 pounds, pretty much.
Yeah, I was doing the conversion. I was like, damn, like, that's really... That would be like me eating like 6, 7, 8 pounds, something like that. Like, I couldn't even do that after fasting for 5 days. Like, how the hell did she do that?
Yeah.
So, like, the rest of the day, she's, like, moving around super slow, couldn't jump up on the bed. Like, last night, I'd, like, pick her up. I mean, she's moving around okay today. She's, like, back to her normal self. She still looks a little bloated. But, damn. Like, I was mad, but I was more mad at myself for just, like, for trusting her.
Yeah, that's like, on you, man. That's a dog, and dogs want to eat.
Yeah, I was like, really? I did leave her in the car alone with, like, some delicious-smelling meat.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't really get that mad at her.
No.
And especially when you see her, like, just her big, bloated belly, just, like, how fat she looks. Like, yeah, it's funny.
That is funny. You know, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know we're both fans of David Goggins. I'm a real big fan of David Goggins. I listened to his book, Can't Hurt Me, multiple times at this point. Like, whenever I feel my my blade getting a little dull, I listen to that book to kind of harden up. But one of his sayings, something he talks about, is like, you have to, you know, the race is never over. There is no finish line. You have to be like a dog and never get full. And I guess in this case, we found a limit to what makes a dog full.
about a pound and a half of pork.
Well, I mean, that's like 1/10 our body weight.
Almost. Yeah, small dog. Yeah, small dog for sure. Yeah, but that's impressive, man. I mean, that's funny, but I get it. You know, I recently, the dog, we have a podcast on what you should feed your dog. It's called, I think, Feeding Your Best Friend Better. I'm pretty sure it's what it's called. So you can go to the website and just Google that. Go to TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com and check that out if you have an animal, because it breaks down what you should feed your dogs. I recently looked into dog food, like actually like dry dog food, and I thought it was just hilarious because it was maybe like a month ago, because it lists protein quantities in the actual crude protein value. Like that's what it said, like crude protein was around like 20%. And I actually appreciated that because it's like way more honest than actual literally human nutrition labels. Like it was way more honest, but it was still deceiving because it makes the protein appear way more than what it actually is, because dogs are just like us and they can't actually use crude protein very well. So if you want to learn more about that, just check out the Plant Protein Podcast a few weeks ago. We talked about that. But yeah, did you notice? Have you ever noticed that in dog food, like packages, it lists crude protein?
Yeah, I've seen that before. I mean, I stopped buying dry food like a long time ago. But yeah, they list like crude protein, and I mean, even 20%, I feel like that's pretty low for a dog. I feel like they should be higher, 25 to 30%, especially if you have an active dog. So crude protein being 20%, what do you think that true protein value is? 15?
Yeah, 10? I mean, at best, if it's good quality stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's just very low quality protein and not enough.
Yeah, not enough, yeah. And I see all the dog foods, they are always like chicken dog food or turkey dog food, but you look at the second ingredient and it would always be like a pea protein, and that's how they got that crude protein value, by pretty much like spiking their protein with peas. And it's deceptive and it just sucks. Like even the dog food people are trying to cut corners to make more money, and it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's all about money. So you should feed your dogs the food you eat. If you're eating a proper diet, dogs can handle it. Dogs can eat meat all day, every day. It's what they're designed to eat, just like humans. So again, just check out that podcast if you have dogs. It's actually pretty informative. But yeah, so just to touch on protein, I guess that's a good transition to this week's podcast. We've been talking about protein a lot lately, and Tom pulled this article that touched on essential amino acids specifically. And if you don't know, essential amino acids are just the amino acids that our bodies can't make themselves. So it's something we have to get from our diet specifically. And there's 9 of them. I don't want to actually name them off because it just makes everything more confusing. But yeah, Tom, do you want to touch on the article a little bit?
In the previous podcast that we talked about essential amino acids, generally we were talking about it with like endurance sports, because that's my favorite supplement when it comes to like my ultra running. So we've talked about essential amino acids when it comes to being a supplement for that. But this one is actually looking at building muscle. So this is something that almost all athletes, pretty much every athlete, should consider taking. So muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown, those are the two things that this study was looking at. So muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown, they're always occurring in the body. But in order to build muscle, you need more protein synthesis than breakdown. So that's what this study was looking at, is how can you really maximize building protein and minimize breaking down protein?
Yeah, and that's important. And we touched on the last time we talked about EAAs, and I'm going to say EAAs for essential amino acids just to abbreviate it. We compared them to BCAAs or branched chain amino acids. And essential amino acids just came out on top in every study, in every way, shape, or form. Essential amino acids are better than branched chain amino acids, because branched chain amino acids, they're promoted by every gym, every like influencer online that's selling some sort of BCAAs. And again, that's just because they're cheap and they can make them real expensive to buy, so they're making a ton of money off it. But essential amino acids are way more important. And that's because dietary essential amino acids are the primary stimulus for increasing muscle protein synthesis. And obviously, we need to increase muscle protein synthesis and have that outweigh muscle protein breakdown if you're ever going to build any sort of muscle. And just saying, someone in Tom's case, he's preparing for a 100-mile race pretty soon, which is an ultra marathon. He might not, or I guess anybody might not, look at him like a bodybuilder, like, oh, he doesn't need to quote-unquote build muscle. But he really does. If he'd kept doing these sort of workouts without stimulating muscle protein synthesis enough, he would literally waste away.
So I don't think people really consider that. It's not necessarily looking like a bodybuilder to increase muscle protein synthesis. Like, it's important for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the reasons why essential amino acids are better than branched chain has to do with just that you're getting so many more amino acids. So branched chains, and especially leucine, so leucine can trigger muscle protein synthesis. It can turn it on, but to maximize muscle protein synthesis, you need all the amino acids to be there. So it's not just turning that switch on, it's having all the materials there to build the muscle as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, if you're looking at branched chain amino acids, it's like, oh yeah, they turn it on, they turn that trigger on, but they don't have all the building materials there. So if you look at a lot of studies, they'll be looking at, oh hey, they trigger muscle protein synthesis, but if you actually look at the overall effect, they don't stack up. So it really depends on what you're looking at, what is the overall outcome. And for most people are just going to care about how much muscle can I actually build versus can I turn on muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can turn it on but you don't build muscle, what's the point? You know, and that's why just supplementing with leucine itself is a poor idea. You should not do it. Just supplementing with BCAAs themselves is a poor idea and you should not do it. You should supplement with EAAs. In this case, they're talking about an EAA supplement, and we'll go into in a little bit why that is beneficial. But if you are eating whole foods, so chicken breast, steak, pork chop, whatever, that is an EAA source that does contain all essential and non-essential amino acids in their proper forms and in the proper ratio. So just eating whole foods, you're going to get a ton of EAAs. You're going to get all the EAAs you need. But there are certain situations where speed is a factor.
Yeah, definitely. So that's where this study is kind of looking at. So if you are an ultra runner like me, and you're competing for hours on hours, consuming some chicken breast or consuming some bacon while you're running probably isn't going to be the best idea. I mean, for one, it's not very practical for you to carry anything out there. I mean, I guess you can carry some beef jerky, but it's not very the most practical thing. So one thing while you're exercising, blood flow is going to your muscles because, hey, that's what's needed at the time. Your body thinks you're running away from a tiger, so it's not really worried about anything else that's going on in the body. It's like, get these nutrients to these muscles so they can run away, they can climb up this tree, they can do whatever they need to do. So in that process, digesting food, so digesting whole protein, is going to be very limited. So breaking down a chicken breast or even something like a protein shake is going to require a lot more energy. So it's going to sit in your stomach longer. And then that gastric emptying is going to take even longer because you're not getting that blood flow. You're not getting that energy supply to break down that protein quickly. So by the time that protein shake, that chicken breast, that beef jerky hits your stomach, gets digested, and then enters your bloodstream, you're talking about at least 5 times to 10 times longer than this essential amino acid drink would be, because at essential amino acids, they're already broken down into the amino acid form. Your stomach doesn't really need to do anything. It just empties and boom, right in your bloodstream. So that whole process is, that time is cut in half, probably in like a fifth, maybe even a tenth of the time, because there's nowhere near as much work required, and get right into your bloodstream. And it can actually still fuel your body while it's working, whereas some beef jerky or something like that, by the time that hits your bloodstream, your probably workout's over.
Well, you've experienced this firsthand, like actually running, trying to eat food, compared to running and drinking an EAA. So you drink your shake, no problem, but if you try and eat, you had some like gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah, most likely that's to do with that lack of blood supply. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but yeah, I've experienced that plenty of times where you just had an upset stomach. I mean, it kind of just goes back to that old, I guess, like one of the first lessons that we learned as a kid, don't go swimming like 30 until like 30 minutes after you eat. And that's just so your blood can like know where to go. It can focus on going to your muscles instead of going to your digestive system. So yeah, breaking down some like whole food just takes so much more energy. That's taking away that blood from your muscles, so you can either like cramp up, get bad digestion, like kind of one or the other, or maybe even both. Like, I've experienced both at times.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And just I want to touch on real quick, because I'm like the plant hater and everybody knows it. So people just plant protein is very big these days. Pea protein powders, vegan protein powders, whatever the source may be, are very popular and very expensive, honestly, even though they're dirt cheap to make. But these protein sources are not good because they're all lacking in one or multiple essential amino acids. And a thing from this study that we've already known, we've already talked about, but it just reiterated it, that all the amino acids, all the essential amino acids being present in that one meal is important to fully stimulate muscle protein synthesis and get all of it that we need. And this is a quote just talking about it. So it says, quote, "More importantly, we observed significant correlations between all the individual essential amino acids and full body protein synthesis measures. Previous work has demonstrated the requirements for all the combined essential amino acids to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. Partial essential amino acid administration produces a transient anabolic response at best. Unless an adequate supply of EAAs are available, muscle protein breakdown must increase to compensate for the lack of precursors," end quote. So that happens in someone who really relies on plants for their primary protein source. They're getting partial essential amino acid administration, what that says, and that reduced, or that produces a transient, which means like weak, anabolic response. So that's why it's going to be real hard to get jacked eating a bunch of plants unless you're taking a ton of drugs.
Yeah, so basically for your body to build muscle, it has to break down more other muscle so it can get all the essential amino acids so it can then build muscle. Doesn't that sound kind of stupid or like counterintuitive?
Yeah, something the human body was never designed to do.
Like, wouldn't it just be better if you could just build muscle without breaking down muscle? Mm-hmm. I feel like you'd get much better gains.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So something like peas, they're super low in amino acid cysteine. They're super low in amino acid methionine, super low in tryptophan. And these are all amino acids that you're going to find in great quantities and quality amounts within animal-based proteins. And that's why animal-based proteins should be your primary source of protein every day of the week, 365 days a year.
Yeah, do you want to read this next quote and then I'll kind of like break down what it means?
Yeah, so you're talking about our results?
Yeah, that part.
Sure. Quote, "Our results provide evidence for peripheral essential amino acid concentrations dictating protein synthesis at both the muscle and whole body level. Maximal transport rates occur when essential amino acid gradients between intra and extracellular concentrations are large," end quote.
So what that quote is saying from the study is that for the most muscle protein synthesis to occur, the gradient needs to be really high from how much EAAs are outside the cell and inside the cell. So when we work out, we break down essential amino acids from the cell and then they go outside the cell. So what this study is looking at is if there's a way you can increase the amount of essential amino acids outside the cell without really breaking down the amount inside the cell. And the way you can do that is through an essential amino acid supplement. So you're increasing the amount that's outside the cell without really requiring your body to break down all its muscle. So you're decreasing muscle protein breakdown while still getting that same signal from muscle protein synthesis. So just kind of think of it this way. Like you're trying to build a house. Well, it's going to be really hard to build a house if every time before you start building, you have to demo it. So instead of having to demo the house before you start building, you're just able to just build upon what you already have. That seems like a much better strategy than taking a sledgehammer to all your previous work and then rebuilding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like that's just kind of what these EAAs, this like little strategy is all about. Is just take essential amino acids before your workout, during your workout, increase the amount of EAAs that are in your bloodstream, and that will decrease the amount that your body has to break down from previous muscle. So you're just decreasing the breakdown, increasing the synthesis. It's going to really translate into bigger gains.
Yeah, so I think a metaphor that people have used, I've used it in the past as well, but you could think of working out is like digging a hole. So you go out back and you dig a hole with a shovel. The harder you work out, the longer you work out, the more muscle you break down, so you're digging that hole deeper. And then for you to recover and make that hole a hill, you have to refill it. And that takes eating, that takes rest, all that type of stuff. And then eventually you fill in that hole and you make that hole a little bit higher. And that's how you get gains. You do that over and over and over. So what this basically does, you take EAAs during your workout, you dig that hole a little bit more shallow, but you can still make that hole again like a hill afterwards with proper recovery and rest. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to make that deficit, that breakdown, a little bit less. You're still going to make the gains, you know, if you eat right and you rest properly. It's just you're not, it's going to make it easier.
So we've been kind of hinting around like the protocol, and I think we should kind of like dive into it a little bit now.
Sure, yeah, because you know a little bit from Milos, and which is a top bodybuilder guide in your own experience.
Yeah, so Milos Sarkev, I think is how you say his name. He's been really big on this strategy dating back to the 80s. This guy's in his 50s now. I don't know if he ever won Mr. Olympia, but I know he was like a top 5, top 10 guy back in his prime.
Yeah.
He's also trained a bunch of people that have competed in the Olympia, and he's really big in the bodybuilding world. So his strategy is going to be a little bit different than my strategy because money is an option for me. That's like my limiting factor is how much money I have and I'm willing to spend on this type of stuff. But what he does is before his workout, he wants to put everything in his blood that is going to be in his blood during his workout. So he's trying to put a bunch of amino acids, a bunch of creatine. He even does a bunch of like glycogen or just like sugar as well. I'm not big on sugar because I want my body to be better at burning fat, but that's because we have different goals.
Yeah.
So he does sugar. He also does a lot of different types of workouts. So if you are trying to be a bodybuilder, adding all that sugar does make sense. But for me, I don't want my body to be reliant on sugar. So if you're an endurance athlete, maybe adding the sugar is not such a good idea. So he saturates his blood before his workout. So just think of a typical pre-workout. So he does creatine and essential amino acids. And then during his workout, he creates that same drink again, and he just sips on that all throughout his workout. So we talked about earlier that gastric emptying, that's why essential amino acids are better during a workout versus a protein shake, is by consuming those essential amino acids and that creatine during your workout, you're able to still supply your muscles with those nutrients during the workout instead of them getting to your body afterwards. So creatine is one of like the primary fuel sources for your body during a workout. And the essential amino acids, they just limit the amount of muscle protein breakdown during your workout. So if you're a bodybuilder doing a bunch of really tough workouts, it makes a ton of sense. Or if you're an ultra endurance athlete like me, where you're running for 4 hours at a time, there's going to be a lot of muscle breakdown at that point. So if you can limit that as much as you possibly can, you're going to be in a much better state.
Yeah, for sure. And I personally don't have any experience with essential amino acid powders. And I mean, that's for a few reasons. Like Tom said, money is a factor. We've done various podcasts on supplements that do work. You know, not all supplements are trash. There are some good ones out there. But I think if you're really going to use all the supplements that can help you, you be ready and willing to spend $5,000 to $1,000 a month on all these various supplements. And Tom did the math like roughly, and if you want to follow Milos' protocol, you're going to be spending about $120 to $150 just a month just on essential amino acids. And mind you, that's not something you can have like on top of to replace your meals, or you know what I mean? Like that's just something you have around your workouts. So you still have to spend money on food and all that type of stuff. So it gets real expensive real quick.
Yeah, so the way I do my essential amino acids, I use them during my like two longest runs. So the way my workout is scheduled, I do a very long run, like usually like a 20-mile run one day. And then the next day, I normally follow that up with like another 10 to 15-mile run. So those 2 days, usually at least one of them, I'm consuming the essential amino acids during my workout and before mixed with the creatine. I either do that before and during, or just before, depending on my load. And then that's about it. I don't consume them during the rest of the week unless I'm kind of like pushing myself to do a workout that I don't feel like 100% for, then I'll consume it. So I'll consume about half the drink before my workout and then sip on the rest of it during my workout. If money wasn't a factor, this is something I would be consuming a lot more of. But yeah, it's about $35 for less than like 30 servings. So it's not really the best bang for your buck. Like creatine, I spent $20 on, and I don't know, I've had my supply for like 4 or 5 months now. I'm not even halfway through it. So, I mean, like $20 of creatine is going to last you a couple like years, maybe. $20 with the EAAs will last you a couple weeks.
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons why I recommend creatine for basically everyone, because it's not just for gym bros. It does so many other things, good things for our brain, good things for our gut. So there's a lot of places where creatine comes into play, and so I think everyone should take it, partly because it is so cheap. But for me, like, I don't think I will actually buy. I've looked into intra-workout powders that are, you know, EAA-centric and have some carb source, whatever it may be. But something that I do, people think I'm, like, zero carb all year round, 24/7, and that's not true. Like, my diet does change depending on the goals. And if I am looking to gain weight or just bulk up a little bit, I will have a pre-workout meal. And it depends on when I train, but usually in the morning, I'll just have a shake before I work out. But it won't be during my workout. It'll be maybe an hour before I train. So by the time I'm working out, these amino acids are in my blood supply already and elevated to hopefully help decrease muscle protein breakdown. So I think that is a way you can get around it, is having a protein-rich meal pre-workout. It would be, you know, preferably 30 minutes to an hour before you eat or before you train, you know, depending on what you eat. But that's something you can do that might be a little bit more cost-effective, because like a whey concentrate powder, you can get those fairly cheap nowadays, and those are going to contain all essential amino acids. So that's something you can do. That's something I do sometimes, and I really don't notice a negative effect on my workouts. Like, I don't feel full from a quick, you know, one or two scoops of a shake. It seems to work.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're consuming that on an empty stomach, yeah, your stomach you should be able to digest that really quick and for that to get into your system. So you are pretty much accomplishing the same thing, except that you're not refilling that during your workout.
During the workout, yeah.
But I feel like the only time you really need to focus on like refilling during your workout would be if you're doing these crazy long endurance training sessions like I am, or if you are doing like a 2 hour long like CrossFit workout, something like that, where you're working out for a very long time really, really hard, or if you're competing in some sort of sport, like maybe just save this for like a competition day, something like that. That makes sense. But as a daily supplement, I mean, if you have the money,
do it.
Like, go for it.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's just like I have a hard time really telling people to do it, because it is so expensive if you like really do it the right way.
Yeah, there's a guy out there called John Meadows. He's real big in the bodybuilding world as far as just being knowledgeable about nutrition and training. And he has a company that produces or whatever makes an intra-workout shake. And it's exactly what I would make my shake as. You know, it's carb source, EAA, it's all real quality stuff, creatine. But if I do the math, that's going to be pretty much extra $50 a month on top of everything else I already do and take. And I'm just not willing to spend it. You have to draw a line somewhere with your supplements, you know? So, yeah, you have anything else to say?
No, I think we broke it down pretty good. I mean, it is a really good way to kind of maximize your gains, but it is costly. So, I mean, it's kind of like up to you. What do you really care about more, your wallet or your physique, your performance?
Mm-hmm. I know if you talked to me like in high school, I would have spent anything on supplements. And I think I did. Pretty much all my check went to supplements.
I mean, it really just kind of depends on how you break this down and how you really want to use it. I mean, there is a way you can get away with spending like $50-$60 a month on it if you're only using it during like, you know, your leg days, like your back days, just kind of like your bigger muscle groups. Like, yeah, then I can kind of see it and it won't be that expensive. But you really just got to make sure you're not wasting it on something like an arm day, or like you're just going in there and doing some abs or something like that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So yeah. So the gist is EAAs, essential amino acids, do work. They are beneficial. And if you have the money, getting an EAA supplement, a quality one, would be beneficial to basically any sort of training, long distance, bodybuilding, CrossFit, anything like that. So if you got it like that, you don't mind, you know, dipping in your budget a little bit, I would recommend it. Just whatever, there's a bunch of EAA supplements on Amazon, so just check them out. But for me personally, I'll keep doing what I'm doing now, and Tom has his regimen too. So But yeah, that's the podcast again. We've talked, like I said, we talked about protein a lot. I don't think we'll touch on it anymore for a few months at least. You know, I'm kind of over talking about it. But yeah, you can find all the information and the link to this study on the website. So just go to the post, go to tntwellnessandnutrition.com and you can check it out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.